This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
The winner of the 2025 NHL Draft Lottery and the first overall selection in the 2025 Upper Deck NHL Draft belongs to the New York Islanders.
Bill Daly announcing the lottery winner last night, the Islanders.
I do believe the call of them winning the lottery was holy shnikes.
Yeah.
Buchogross.
From 10 to 1, and the Sabres drop from 7 to 9. We talked a little this morning about the lottery process and the new television show the league turned it into, which I think was a big success. Now we start to take a look at the Sabres offseason. Kevin Adams, of course, was also the representative for the team, which would lead many to believe he's still going to be part of the organization, which I think is to be expected from just about everybody. Anyway, little Sabres chatter here with Chad DeDominicis, who joins us on the Western Hotline. Chad of Expected Buffalo, the Expected Buffalo podcast, and ExpectedBuffalo.com as well. Chad, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
How'd you like the lottery?
I was good. It definitely had me on the edge of my seat, especially when they were still in the last pick.
Yeah,
I was a little annoyed that they went away from doing the second lottery live.
Yes,
I realized in the bottom right-hand corner, like they already picked three balls, and people were talking still. But other than that, that was pretty good.
Yeah, Weeks was interviewing, I don't even remember who it was from the Islanders.
Constantine or somebody like, yeah, they were, the group was talking, yeah.
Yeah, while the second pick, especially in a year where, I don't know if the casual observer would have known this, although I feel like for a broadcast like that, you're more geared towards the hardcore fan anyway, that might have known this isn't a year where one is even maybe that different from two, right? Like, I don't know, going into the night, it felt like pick two was almost, to me at least, it felt like pick two would almost be as much of a win as pick one.
Yeah, no, for sure, you're right. So that was only a little annoying part, but other than that, I think they did a really good job.
Well, the Sabres land at 9, which, I mean, the joke I think people are having a good time with is that they had a better chance to move up to number 1 than they did to move down to number 9. But here we are, number 9. And, Chad, it might be year 7 or 8 or 10 of trade the pick. So, I mean, you would have fielded this question before. Looking at the draft class, looking at what the Sabres might want slash need as we start to set a course for the offseason, how likely do you think that is? And if they were to do it, you know, what is it they should be targeting? I'd thrown out the idea to Joe as a concept. If they could find the Jason Zucker of their defense, a veteran who comes in and works on a number of levels, that'd be great. But, you know, that doesn't exactly strike me as the kind of trade you normally make for the 9th pick.
Yeah, I think it should definitely be in consideration, for sure, where they are right now. I think the likelihood of it happening is probably slim, only for the reason, a couple reasons. One, just teams really just don't trade those top 10 picks, like the actual picks themselves. I think the last one that happened was the Brinkett And then before that was like Bo Horvat or something like a long time ago. So it just doesn't happen very often. So that's one thing working against you. And then also I just feel like this class, you know, for me, once you got the top three, I guess maybe top five, it's nothing spectacular. So it's hard for me to believe that some team is really going to want to come in there and get that ninth pick to go after somebody. I mean, it does only take one team to fall in love with the prospect and they really want him. So that could happen. And then it's, you know, then you got to find the team that wants to do that. You know, there were people yesterday that mentioned like Jason Robertson, like use that to go get him. But, you know, Dallas doesn't want that pick. They're in a cup window. They don't care about the ninth overall pick. So you really got to find a team that is looking to move somebody halfway decent that can help you. And then the other part is would have the desires to get their hands on that ninth pick.
Right. You almost need a team that's starting over a little bit. And I don't know if you've done this even for other ideas where you trade young pieces, even if it's not the ninth pick, but I don't know. Is there a team that comes to mind for that, that they should be targeting to make a deal with this offseason, even if it's not just for the ninth pick?
Well, the one team I thought about last night that I talked about on the podcast I did a little bit, and it involves the ninth pick, is the Islanders. I think the Islanders are in a spot where, you know, nobody really does that hardcore rebuild anymore. You know, at least not all the way tear it down, but some sort of reset and, you know, they're changing their front office, and then they win the first overall pick. And, you know, are they a team that would maybe have the desire, okay, we get one and then we get nine. And then, you know, I've gone back and forth, but let's say they get one and they're going to pick Matthew Schaefer at one. Well, would that make Noah Dobson more or less available? I go back and forth on it because I can make arguments on both sides. But let's say it makes them more available. Then can you go to them and say, hey, it wouldn't be just nine, but take nine, you get two top 10 picks, and then formulate the rest of your package around that and, you know, get a Dobson trade done somehow, some way. You know, that's something I kicked around again. I don't know how likely that would be, but, you know, there's not many teams really that fit the criteria that I kind of laid out, but the Islanders, you know, are one of those teams that you could talk to you about that type of scenario.
So you're mentioning Noah Dobson, defenseman of the Islanders. I guess getting to the Sabres side of this, what should Kevin Adams be in the market for? What is the number one goal of the offseason for them to figure out to get them to where they need to be? And in your opinion, Chad, how far are they from being in that spot in the playoffs?
I don't think they're that far. What I would focus on is improving your defense. And maybe it's not just your blue line, which I think does need to improve, and maybe the area you should focus on, but I think it's your overall team defense. So if you're not going to go after a defenseman, which I think they will, but let's say they look to the forward side of things, well, you have to understand the makeup of your roster. So your roster is built with a lot of finishing forwards that maybe aren't the best two-way forwards throughout your lineup. So what I would look for is, you know, more of a playmaking. You don't need a finisher. Someone who distributes the puck well, they can get it to your finishers. And then also getting a guy that is good in the defensive zone that you can utilize up in that top nine or top six that, you know, is responsible defensively in the sense of how they use Benson at the end of the season, where he's that distributor, he's the forechecker, and he's very good defensively. So I think they need that type of player. And then also I think even if they keep the pick, that's the kind of type of player they should be looking for too. And it's really hard to get these kids, and I understand, like, they're not going to come for 3 or 4 years, and you want to pick best available because they're not going to know what you need at this point, but their prospect system is full, same thing, of more of those finisher, shooter-type players that they could really use some sort of playmaker, two-way guy, either, you know, on their actual roster or in their prospect pool, too.
Talking about that defenseman, how important specifically would it be for a partner for power? We've talked about for maybe if it's been 2-3 years now, who plays with him on the right and targeting a veteran for that spot, which, I mean, it's been Joki Haru and he's gone. So for you, how much should – I don't even know, though. Like, you just bring in a right-shot defenseman, and is there a specific skill set they should be targeting for that in mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing, too, we have to think about is, It doesn't have to be a right shot defenseman. Both Dahlin and Power have been on the right, and Ken Adams has said a few times, and I think even maybe tipping his hand, that their internal data says that Power plays better on the right side than the left at times. And, you know, I've looked into that myself, but I don't have any reason to believe he'd be lying about it. So, ideally you'd get a right-handed defenseman, but if that's not there, then you can go for a left-handed defenseman. Like Gavrikov is somebody in free agency that I think could really fit. Because you could put him with Power or Darlene. He's played those minutes. He's played in big moments. And I think he does have that kind of profile you talked about, somebody who is good at entry defense, I think can, you know, is good positionally around the net, a little bit of a bigger size, kind of all those profiles. He's not the best, you know, exit defender, which I think you can deal with that because you have Darlene and Power. But really, if you're looking for a profile, I think it's somebody that profiles similar to Bernard Docker. Does that work with Power? So obviously maybe you want a little bit more talent and a little bit better defensively than Bernard Docker, but I think that'd be the type of profile that you'd be aiming for when you bring somebody in.
Chatting with Chad DeDominicis of ExpectedBuffalo.com in the Sabres offseason. How about goal, Chad, before we wrap up here? Lukanen is, I don't know, back to being a wild card. Levi, I'm watching and seeing the results in Rochester and, you know, lighting candles every night that he can be this good in the NHL. What's the best plan? Is it probably just those two and hoping that Levi is finally ready?
Yeah, I think that's the realistic plan, is it'll be those two. You know, it's tough to think of something else that you could get. Really, I mean, I just don't think this team is in a position to give up assets and, you know, use cap space to bring in some big, you know, name goaltender. Unless Luke would have to go out the door, too, in that scenario. But, like, I don't know if a Lukanen and somebody else, so let's say Demko, you know, that's $5 million, but that's a chunk of your cap space you're eating into. And, you know, we can get into the whole cap space utilization conversation, but that's just not somewhere where I would do that. And then you get into the question of, well, you know, if you get somebody along the same lines of Lukanen in the sense that there's really only a few goalies in this league that are consistently year in and year out good, you know, if you give up assets for somebody that, again, it's just going to be another question mark. Is it just as likely that Lukanen bounces back as Demko would stay healthy for a full season or really anybody you get? You know, that's the question they have to kick around. So that's why I think ultimately it's more likely it's just going to be Lukanen and Levi. And, you know, they're going to hope that that works. You know, and I don't have the most confidence. They've tried that twice now and it didn't go well. And maybe the third time's a charm. I don't know. But, yeah, the free agent market on goaltending is pretty poor now with a couple guys signing. So, you know, the options are kind of limited there. So I just don't think that's where they'll end up.
On that cap conversation, it's going to go up. Like 95-ish is usually the projection for now. With McLeod to sign and Paterka, Quinn to a lesser extent, Byram obviously. How close do you think they'll be to being a cap team without doing anything external?
If they just re-sign everybody, I mean, they're going to, just by default, I think, be up near there. I mean, they can mitigate that, but if they dump off Clifton, and then if I think they're going to try to move Samuelson, so that in itself right there is, you know, $7, $8 million you can drop off your books, and, you know, that would go, part of that or most of that would go to Paterka and Byram. I don't think they're giving anybody long-term here, so I think whatever they hand out are going to be bridge contracts, whoever does stay out of that group that you mentioned. So, you know, I mean, you're looking probably in the 6-7 range, even on a bridge. So in theory, they should be closer. But, you know, we'll see. We thought the same thing this year when they, you know, bought out Skinner, that they're going to use that money and they never did. So I guess we'll have to see if they actually do.
Is one of those more of a question than others for if they stay, the guys that are RFAs?
I would say Byram is probably the more questionable one, but I think Paterka can bring that conversation too. I go back and forth with what they're going to do there. I think the most likely outcome for Paterka is that they just give him a 2-year bridge contract probably and then kick that down the road and deal with it then. Byram, I think, is the one that they could look to move. They used him. He was in trade conversations last year, you know, with Pettersson and then some other stuff too. And they you know, they took away from Darlene to kind of see how that worked, and we all saw how poorly that went. So I think there's a couple signs when you look at it there that he probably be the one that's more available. But, you know, again, this team is super hard to predict at times, so Who really knows?
Chad DeDominicis, Expected Buffalo Podcast and ExpectedBuffalo.com. Thanks, Chad.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
All right. On the Sabres, and, you know, he's mentioned a couple guys there. You and I had toyed with an idea of a played their last game as a Sabre draft.
Yeah.
Which is not easy. They don't have UFAs.
No, Reimer.
Yeah.
That's it. And even...
Would he be your first pick? Played their last game as a Sabre draft. Who's the first pick? Most likely to not be here to start next year.
Because even Reimer is not impossible.
No, not at all.
He's got.
If he retires, I'm just going to say like that doesn't count.
Yeah, he's probably not going to retire though, because even if the Sabres don't bring him back, hasn't he earned a backup job somewhere? Doesn't someone give him a call next year to be their backup?
Isn't it super likely he's the Sabres' insurance policy against Levi not being ready?
Yes, I would. Well, I could see that being their thought. But that's what I wonder. Like, does he have enough market value in the league now to where he says, I don't want to come in and be your 2B?
No, I don't think.
Because, hey, the Canucks over here are saying I could be their number two. Just straight up. If you're Reimer, what do you pick? So they might not even be in control of that. They can want Reimer back all they want. But again, like he looked like a quality backup goalie last year, and I bet there's a team out there that saw that.
Maybe. I mean, he got waived last year.
At the beginning of last year. Yeah. Well, he also got claimed.
He did.
But then he got waived again, and the Sabres claimed
him. Right, so like, waived.
But that's what I mean. Like, we don't know. The Sabres were high in that order, I think. We don't know that there weren't other teams that claimed him.
I don't know.
Ducks were high in the waiver order, and the Sabres were high in the waiver order. So he got claimed both times. He never passed waivers.
You're gonna pick him then? Has played his last game because the market?
He would be my number one pick.
Number one?
Yeah.
I would follow
the
up.
The market, and they might just say, sure, we're good anyway because UPL and Levi's
so playing. He's an easy number one because he's not under contract with the team.
Yes.
If I'm drafting two, who should I take? Byram?
I would take Byram. I mean, I respect what Chad just said about Paterka. I can't imagine they still have leverage on that contract. And there was smoke about like maybe he doesn't want to be here or whatever, but that player is good. And I can't believe that they...
You mean Paterka?
Paterka, thank you. Yeah. So with that being said about Paterka, he's too good, I think, to walk away from right now. Byram, that's more questionable. So, and his motivation to stay, every time he talks to Paul about it, anytime he gets asked the question, just he never wants to give you any hint that he is thinking about staying here long term.
Well, his motivation is to be a team's number one, is what he said.
Yeah, Friedman said that that's what Byram wants.
And that'll never happen here.
No. He doesn't get power play minutes here. He doesn't get... I mean, he gets the most minutes when he plays with Dahlin. So there's that. And he's also from Western Canada, and that's where he was in Colorado. He's won a cup, so he knows what that type of organization looks like. I just think all the clues would tell you that's not happening. And on the Sabres end of things, when Adams gets asked about it, he doesn't really ever want to mention Byram as being a part of the core. So, Byram, for sure. Because he'll be expensive.
Yeah.
If they wanted to sign him to a 7-year deal right now, how much would he cost?
$70
million. So what do you got that at? Is that $9 million a year?
7 years, $70 million.
Okay, $10 million a year?
I think he's getting like...
Oh my goodness.
Right. Is it $56 million? Is it $80 a year?
I was thinking like eight and a half, nine.
Consider the cap is supposed to go up. So we're about to be sticker shock relentlessly, right? The cap.
Maybe.
In the next 3 years, the cap's going to go up an awful lot, which means prices have to go. Think of everything that just happened in the NFL with all these receivers and all these quarterbacks. Why is the price doesn't go up as much because teams are crazy about these players. It's because it has to go up. When there's more money to spend, the salary cap goes up, and the floor goes up. Like, the cap is going to go up $9 million just this year.
Yeah. Does the NHL operate like that, though? Like, Sidney Crosby made was the highest paid player in the league 10 years ago.
Okay.
$12 million a year. The salary cap has not gone up a lot since then, but it was at $69 million.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the highest paid player in the league right now? McDavid? Doesn't he also make $12 million?
Right. But it's in the next 4 years.
It's going to go up more than it has in the last 10.
This year, the cap is 95.5. In 2028-29, it's 123. There's a 25% jump in the cap. And after also being flat forever, so you might even have teams finally with some freedom to spend money, which means that the spending spree gets big. And unrestricted free agency is kind of dead.
If I'm a player agent, that's what I would want to do. If I'm Byram's agent, it might even be a Buffalo thing. It's, hey, sign it. Let's sign a 2-year bridge deal, because in 2 years the cap is going to be $105 million. And you could sign for $8.5 million right now, but I want to say you could sign for, maybe you could sign for $10.5 million in 2 years. If I were a player agent, that's what I'd want to do.
Well,
that's a long story short to say Byram would absolutely be my second pick.
To be most likely to play this last game as a Saber.
He's played his last game.
Just do the inflation thing, right? Like, let's say you make $8 million for the NHL cap when it's 95.
Yeah.
You're talking about a 25% bump up in pay,
right?
Because the cap goes up 25%. That's what's happened to quarterbacks and receivers. You know, you see biggest contract in the history of the NFL at receiver, and it's actually less of a percentage of the cap than a deal signed 2 years before.
Right.
So money goes up and percentage stays the same.
Does it have to be Byram at number two? Who else could you say it is? Could you say Samuelson?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they got to move that contract.
You could say Samuelson. I don't know who else I would say.
I don't know who's going to want that contract, but it could be. They also, as we've referenced in past months, they could buy out Samuelson if they really wanted to. It's like super easy to do. $700,000 for 10 years.
How much actual money do they save?
And they save, it's a chunk.
All buyouts should be viewed in, can they save actual dollars?
Right. If they buy him out.
Not a cap, not for
here you go.
Cap relief.
Yeah. He has $21.4 million left on his contract. If they buy him out, they owe him $7.1.
That's saving $14 million in actual cash?
In actual cash.
There you go. I think it's possible. Skinner was...
If they can't trade him.
To me, when the Skinner, that talk started, it was how much money, not cap, how much money do they save? Because
they never use the cap space.
Right. I don't think this team is worried about a cap hit like that. And I think if they can save actual dollars, they'll go for it.
Chad's point is right, though. Like, again, this is an interesting exercise, because if some of these guys have played their last game for the Sabres, it changes the equation, because they have $23 million in cap space going into this offseason for a $95 million cap, which is the estimate. $23 million in space for McLeod, Paterka, Quinn, Bernard Docker, if you want him. Byram is obviously a huge chunk, in Levi. Those six guys are going to cost you $23 million, even on bridge deals.
Mm-hmm.
But, as Chad just kind of pointed out, does that mean they're going to be up to the cap floor? Because what else have they done? Have they got rid of Samuelson and Clifton, and now they're just going to have $7 million of unused cap space? That'll be the question. Because they could sign all their guys and be up to the cap, and then they're back below the cap because they move guys out.
803-0550, our phone number. Back to the Bills and the perfect opener. Design the perfect opener. A week from tomorrow, we get the full schedule. Sure, we'll get pieces along the way, international games, as we get closer and closer. We are 8 days from the full schedule, asking you about your perfect opening day. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
I like Stephon Diggs in New England, that situation. Because Stephon Diggs is still pissed off at the Bills. So there's going to be hunger, and there's going to be urgency, and there's going to be a fire under his ass in the meeting room when he's in New England at practice, which they could use. They could use a little fire under their ass in that receiver room. You know that Stephon Diggs, yeah, he's got a lot of like instances where he's got the mind games with the quarterback, but no one ever second guesses how hard he works and the amount of work that he puts into his craft.
Julian Edelman. We talked a little about the Bills' perfect opener today. Thought about New England, but maybe Diggs wouldn't be healthy for that. Started talking about players that got booed. I also saw this story. You want to talk about taking the receiver that plays the mind games to another level?
Mm-hmm.
Chad Johnson just told the story that... I'm sorry, I closed the page. I didn't see which podcast this was on or where he said this, but...
He has his own podcast.
Okay, might have said it on his own podcast. Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, one of my favorite receivers ever. He was awesome.
I loved him.
Fun. And, you know, whatever. Personality.
Yep.
He said that he used to call Marvin Lewis when they were in the hotel for a game.
Mm-hmm.
He would call the head coach at 2 a.m. And coach answers the phone. He would say, hey, coach.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm open and hang up the phone. That's it.
I love him. That's awesome.
Calling the head coach
at 2 o'clock 2 in the morning.
Coach, I'm open. Click. That's it. And then, yeah, anyway, fun times.
I mean, at some point, Marvin Lewis has got to be like, dude, if you don't stop calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're not playing Sunday. They have to miss a quarter for an unspecified reason.
That's funny.
You should go back and look because we could retroactively figure out, oh, that's because he called Lewis at 3 a.m.
It is exactly one of those things where, you know, he sits out for a half and like, coach, what happened? Just the team policy things. We're going to keep it in-house.
Yes, exactly.
We're going to keep it in-house.
Right.
Because you never.
He called me at 2:30 in the morning last night telling me he was open. I'm like, you're not playing.
Right. Jay in North Jersey. Hey, Jay, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. My ideal perfect game for the Bills to open up with is not an AFC team or an AFC rival. I think it would be the best opponent for them would be the Philadelphia Eagles coming in, opening kickoff week for the NFL. You got the MVP versus the Super Bowl champs. Saquon Barkley, a lot of stars in the crowd, on the sideline. I just can't see an AFC team opening up with Buffalo this year. I don't think we'll see AFC teams until October. I think we will have, in September, two NFC teams, two good NFC teams, and I think the Philadelphia Eagles will be one. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Shay. The only problem there is the Eagles are supposed to play at home to open. Right. The NFL, right. You win the Super Bowl, you open at home on Thursday Night Football. There's at least one where that did not happen. I think it's Baltimore,
Denver.
A long time ago.
And that was only because
the Orioles made the playoffs or something. No, it wouldn't even have been
but
that.
But it was with the Orioles, though.
The Orioles had a homestand and
they couldn't figure out parking lot and like
something.
Doing it at the same time.
Yeah. So they did not open at home on a Thursday night, but pretty much everybody opens at home on a Thursday night. Right. So that means the Bills and Eagles cannot be opening night because the Bills and Eagles play here.
Right.
How many I threw this the other day, over under on 1 o'clock Sunday games, 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be many. The home schedule is loaded. The road schedule, I had somebody write in earlier on Twitter and say, hot take, the Bills are going to go unbeaten on the road. And if you were to look at their road opponents,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that is a hot take. It might be.
It isn't just that it's eight.
No.
And going eight, no.
I mean, it's. And the, who's the toughest opponent?
That's what I mean. Like, it's a hot take in that anyone going 8-0 against any eight teams is a lot.
Tough.
But if you just do it on paper.
The division is there. And then after that, the tough games are Houston and Pittsburgh, and that's it.
Here's one way to do it. Will they be favored in every road game this year?
Yes.
Which is another way to say, will they be favored in every game this year?
That's a great question.
They might be favored in every game this year.
When the schedule comes out, favored in every game.
I think that might be a hot take. Because Baltimore could be a pick'em, and they will not be an underdog to Kansas City.
Nope.
They will be favored against Kansas City. They've been favored in Arrowhead. They will be favored here. I guess they could be a pick'em against the Eagles.
Could.
But maybe they'll be pick'ems. They won't be an underdog in any game this year. When the schedule comes out. And that is a way to say their road schedule is easy. So, yeah, who would you pick? Who could you pick out of their road schedule to say, like, oh, that's going to be a Super Bowl contender? Houston, do they have it in them? Just because the quarterback's that talented and maybe if they figure it out. But I didn't like their offseason. Their line was bad and they got rid of their best lineman.
Yeah, and they drafted two receivers.
Right. They both Iowa State guys, right?
Yep.
So I guess Houston has it in them. And that's it. You think Pittsburgh could be a great team? You think Cleveland could? You think Carolina could? You think Atlanta could? I guess maybe Atlanta could because the quarterback's an unknown commodity, but it might be New England.
I was just going to say.
It might be New England.
Listen.
New England's got the ingredients.
You're not allowed to say Atlanta, the quarterback might do something, and land on New England, who
you're
had
right.
a rookie with a really strong season, and they had a pretty good offseason, too. Are they a Super Bowl contender? No.
Do you think that's
probably not, unless, well, I guess I would ask you this.
Could that be their second toughest road game of the year?
Yeah.
New England.
It could be their first.
Yeah.
It could be their toughest road game of the year. New England could be their toughest road game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
When they played Houston last year in Houston, that's a game where Allen is, 9 for 30.
Like, worst completion percentage in 30 years.
It was their lowest moment offensively, and they lost it late on a kick.
It took a 60-yard field goal to beat them.
Yeah.
With Allen's worst game, we thought he got knocked out for a second, and a final possession that was like as bad as humanly possible.
Yep.
And with all of that, it still took a 60-yard field goal to beat them. Yeah, I don't know what Houston is this year. I guess they could go unbeaten on the road. Any road game to me will be a disappointment for the opener. Any road game.
803-0550. I agree. I'd like to open at home Sunday, 1 o'clock. Let's get one more Sunday, 1 o'clock, elite season kind of kickoff.
If there was a marquee road game on, I guess would we even want this? If they were playing the Chargers and you're the Friday night Brazil game, you know, like, okay, that's a road game, but like, there's something unique to this. Like when they played the Rams a couple years ago in the season opener.
Right.
Because otherwise, there's not really that interesting a road game to me. So yeah, give me home against anybody. I'll take the Saints at 1 o'clock at home to start the season. With Tyler Shuck at quarterback and just pummel him by 40. That'd be great.
We can give Chris Olave the Tiquillo Spikes treatment.
Oh. I mean,
we're not talking about receiver. After the whistle, Craig Gervais, Andrew Peters, good morning. We've been told after multiple days of presenting to Terry Pegula, Kevin Adams will return as the Sabres GM for the next upcoming season. You mentioned that in the update. Want to give a thought on that? Anybody? Anyone have a thought on that? Multiple days of presenting.
That's the most interesting part of this because we had already resigned ourselves to he is going to be the GM again. So
how many hours in a day? How many days presenting? What does the presentation involve?
Right. Well, I'm assuming it involves what you want to do with the roster, right? And what you want to do with contracts and extensions.
Mm-hmm.
Does multiple days of presenting, is it too far a leap to go to Terry was thinking about it?
I mean, I have a tough time believing that.
That he was thinking about doing something else? Because to me, if you are presenting to the owner and the conclusion is he's staying as GM, what was he presenting? Does he do this every year? Does he always present to Pegula? Or was this the presentation to remain as GM? And if he doesn't like it, you're out. Is that what was on the line with the presentation? Or is he staying no matter what? That's not in there. But
once you go this far into the offseason, I mean, the season ended weeks ago. to have not made, if you were going to make the decision to fire him, you fire him immediately and get to work. No? You get to work on a replacement.
Right.
I mean, that it went this long. Hey, we'll catch up in a couple of weeks and then, all right, let's see what you've got. My guess is it would be multiple days of presenting is, yeah, here's the plan. Here's what I'm thinking. Let me know what you think of it. But this is going to be our plan going forward. And I think that Adams would have gone into those meetings confident that he would be the GM. Maybe not confident. Maybe that's the wrong word. But thinking, I'm probably going to be back. I'm here for a multiple day presentation. It's a little bit like Aaron Rodgers being flown out to the Jets facility to meet with the new coach to be told we don't want you, and him being shocked by that. Just Rodgers flying there probably thought they're going to want to talk about, you know, the future here and what I want to do. And he was shocked they didn't. For Adams, my guess is, again, maybe not confident, but he probably ends up surprised if he's not retained.
The thought to have is they are not a serious NHL organization.
Well, they certainly don't operate the way that a lot of teams would in this spot, which is they would have made a change by now.
No, and from the starting point, this is not someone that would, no offense to Kevin Adams, but his resume did not present itself as somebody that would ever be hired as a general manager in the National Hockey League. It wasn't. And I know they don't get, Terry Pegula said the last time he took questions about the Sabres 5 years ago that he felt let down by the hockey world. So I don't believe he cares what the hockey world thinks about the way he runs his organization. But how would you expect anyone in the NHL is talking about this morning? Like, this guy will just never get fired.
Well,
I mean, there were snickering about him getting the job in the first place. And then six seasons have gone by. On top of that, in the first place, they have not made it. They came close one time, and he's still going to keep going.
So this will be his sixth season?
This will be his one, two, three. Yeah, this will be his sixth. Sorry, five failed seasons.
I mean, eventually he'll have half the drought. He's at five.
It'd be 6 out of 15 next year.
Keep going. You'll get there eventually.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time. And again, like, it's kind of uncharted territory because of the background in the first place and how, I mean, why does he have the job? Because he's somebody the owner trusts. That's why he has the job. Mm-hmm. He wasn't an established assistant general manager in the National Hockey League. So it's going to be tough to predict. I don't know, even if they miss the playoffs next year, if he would be fired.
Well,
he's not a typical general manager.
I think his contract might be up at the end of next season, along with Lindy Ruff, which would mean like wide open for anything you want to do. You know, whatever. Like, it sounds, it's not like Adams is beyond criticism, of course, but he comes in and he's given a tough task, which is your best players hate it here and want to go away. All right, I'll do that. I'll take my time. I won't be rushed into that. I'll make those trades. He did make those trades. And he got some good pieces in return, but
yeah,
that series of trades is defined by first round picks that have been barely here, and that's kind of stunning when you think about
right.
it. And Roseanne, Östlund, Kulik is finally here.
Yeah,
Savoy gets traded. Like, think of all the first round picks he has made, and they traded away pieces, and they got all these. They got a first for Ristolainen, which is kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He did that. And somebody paid that price, but the returns on all those trades are just modest. It's Tuck, and it's Krebs, and really the number of games played by players coming back in the Eichel-Reinhardt trades, among other trades too, as every piece got kind of sent off. It's Tuck and scraps, right?
Yeah.
Levi's in there.
Levi and Östlund are the guys you're waiting for, but it's amazing, right, that it's – that's part of what you do when you get futures back is you make those trades and it's 4 years later and we still haven't seen two of the bigger pieces of those trades.
It's almost like a second bungling of lots of potential, lots of assets. Like when Botterill came here and got the job, like he was so set up to do whatever he wanted. And
he didn't touch
it. He just made a mess of it.
Yeah.
And then Adams had to clean up Botterill's mess and he comes in and like, all right, here you go. It's not... No one's going to blame you for having to trade these players. You didn't build this mess. So, all right, clean it up, and what are you going to get in return? And it's been Tuck
but
and
even
just stuff.
Even how they operated within that, and the Eichel surgery comes up, and okay, your reputation as a franchise is in the toilet for everybody. How do you build it back up? And that, don't even, I'll close the record for a second. Where's their reputation as a franchise across the National Hockey League? Congratulations, you have found a couple of players that are willing to buy in on it. Jason Zucker says it's not a real thing in the National Hockey League.
Yep.
Okay, then why does Craig Berube not take their call last year to be the head coach? Not even take the call. So I trust that Zucker doesn't feel that their reputation is in the toilet across the league. But all the other actions and all the things that happen, Matt Murray told them no.
Yeah.
2 years ago, who was a nobody goalie in the NHL anymore. He was years before. Just that's where I wonder if Adams can ever build it back up. He might be a part of your credibility problem. I mean, I don't want to just hire Lou Lamoriello just for the credibility of it. But I bet you people would take his call.
Maybe. The thing I want to say about building it back up is it's going to come down to winning. And, you know, can they do that? They're way behind schedule.
Well, it comes down to winning, or if you replace them with somebody that people in hockey have, like, the utmost respect for. Again, I don't want to go as far as, though, I'm hiring, like, an 85-year-old Lou Lamoriello. Like, I don't want that just for the sake of it. Because you do have to still have a good hockey team.
803-0550. The report from the guys at After the Whistle is that Kevin Adams is back. No official announcement from the Sabres. Not sure if there's going to be a press release of any kind about that, but it is as expected. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. When we return, I've got a couple things I want to catch up on. Oh, I know. It's pet peeve season. I got a pet peeve. No, the Sabres are not in the playoffs, okay. But it is a certain season. A season has returned on something that I wish would go away in sports, but it has its fans. We'll get to that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Join us for the ride for Roswell. Big event coming up, and Bulldogs will be riding. We got a team, WGR team. You can join us for the ride for Roswell. If you've never done it before, I would recommend it. It's fun. Great big event. Join us in the fight against cancer. And Saturday, June 28th, once you join our team, you receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden and Lancaster. Not a rider. You can still support the cause. Donate to the team. Help us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. So the go ahead.
Very quickly, I am doing the ride for Roswell this year. I am doing the smaller race, though, because I have a wedding later in the day.
Oh, you know I get too sweaty.
Not even that. I just think, what do you do at a wedding? You dance. You're up till, you know, however late in the night. And we were trying to decide, like, how long of a ride should we do with a wedding just hours later?
You could do plenty. You could do 20. You could do 40.
I think we're doing the 20.
Okay. You'll be fine.
40 was a consideration, but I'm not doing 40.
So T's going to the break. One of my pet peeve seasons. Everyone's got their own little things that make them mad. Here's mine.
Yeah.
The Knicks stole home court from the Celtics.
Oh, all right.
There it is. There it is. You win a game, and now you've got home court. And then if Boston wins game two and then game three, then the Celtics steal it back. Okay, great. I am not one.
Because the logic is if you just win your home games, now you win the series.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure, fine, whatever. There's two ways to look at home court. Or home ice. Who has it during a game seven? Who has it if you just win your home games? Especially in the NBA. The NBA right now, home teams are 28-24.
Yeah, and it was the first time last night that two 60-win teams both lost game one on the road.
Okay.
And tonight, if the Warriors win, then all four will have lost.
I don't think
all four home teams.
That home court is home ice is the kind of thing you pass back and forth like it's a...
Yeah.
You know, I made a gesture there, like a doobie. Like, oh, yeah, here's yours now. Now it's mine.
Things you pass. I mean, I guess that would have been
that's the first thing I went to. Let it reflect anything
about
me.
That would have been on the board in Family Feud, I think.
Things that you pass back and forth.
That would have been a good answer, for sure. That would have been
up there.
A doobie would have been on the board. And Steve Harvey makes his jokes.
Show me! And then, you ever notice that the name on the thing would have said, like, you know...
Oh,
they
it wouldn't say doobie. It would say,
I don't even know what it would say.
Like,
Mary Jane. It would say reefer. It would say... Like,
yes, right. It would say reefer.
They put the funniest possible thing they can up there.
Right.
For the shock effect.
But it would still qualify.
Anyway, what's the second answer? What do you pass back and forth?
A
football. A
football, right. A ball of some sort.
Salt and pepper.
There you go.
Back and forth?
Table salt.
Wait, why am I getting it twice?
Well, just something you pass.
Well, this is
it doesn't have to be back and...
This is back and forth.
Okay.
Stealing home ice is about back and forth.
I mean, if you want the salt back later.
A bucket of popcorn.
Yep.
Back and forth.
Okay. That's right. Is it also your pet peeve? You ever heard the saying, the series doesn't begin until someone wins on the road?
Well, that's when somebody steals home court.
Which means the series could end before it ever begins. If the home team just wins every game.
Right.
Series ends.
All right, we'll get a break in. 803-0550 to join us, 1-888-550-2550. 8 days from the NFL schedule being announced.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.